Wrestling with Arya Daivari, hometown kid here in Minneapolis. It's got to be a very exciting time for you now that you're able to make your way out of the big system and get back to your roots, I'd have to imagine. How special has this been for you since returning to the independent circuit?
It's been very nice because when you're in WWE, a lot of people may not understand that television wrestling is far different than live event wrestling. So your time in the ring sometimes is far more scarce. So when I was an independent wrestler before I got to the WWE, you know, 15, 20-minute matches were kind of a normal thing. You go to the WWE, unfortunately 205 Live didn't do a lot of house shows, you're just doing TV wrestling. Sometimes you're wrestling for 5 to 7 minutes. So be able to come back finally and be able to go out there and wrestle for a long time, really engage with the people as well too, because a big part of WWE, they always tell you, wrestling for the cameras. You're not wrestling for the people, you're wrestling for the cameras. So now that I get to come back here and I actually get to wrestle for the people, it just makes it so much more special, it's more organic, and it's what I'm used to. You know, I was a independent wrestler for 10 years, or WWE wrestler for 5 years, so it feels nice to kind of get back to those roots, like you said.
You come from an era of pro wrestling where throughout your childhood, cruiserweight wrestling really starts to pick up. Our own Eric Bischoff, of course, on ad-free shows, an innovator of that. How much did cruiserweight wrestling stand out to you as a kid, as you're growing up watching wrestling?
So, obviously, like, I just knew even from a young age, like, I don't come from a very, like, physically large family.
Me neither, it's okay.
Right. So, knowing I wanted to be a professional wrestler, when you see smaller guys, which it's funny we say smaller because back then they were 225. That's still very large men. But seeing smaller cruiserweights wrestle on TV, it always gave me hope that I said, I can make it to the big leagues as well too. So that's why it always very special to me. But also just seeing the fast-paced style of wrestling, you know. I'd be lying if I said I wasn't into guys like Hulk Hogan and the heavyweights and stuff like that. But you definitely, even at a young age, you saw the difference in styles, the contrast in styles. And that was why I made sure that when 7 o'clock hit, I never missed, and that's central time, I never missed Nitros, because I said I always knew the first 20, 30 minutes was going to be these fast-paced cruiserweights, these smaller guys like myself. So it was very actually special when I got invited to come do the Cruiserweight Classics. I said, ah, these are the guys that everybody knew deep down, like, these guys are the workers. So to be labeled that and get to be a part of that, it was very special for me.
What were your initial opinions of WWE's rollout of the cruiserweight system? It seemed like it was something people were really excited about, and then it kind of tampered off a little bit over time, especially a few years into the launch of 205 Live.
Yeah, you know, personally, I always kind of knew, just because my brother had been there, how the WWE views cruiserweights or smaller wrestlers, that it's going to be a little bit of a uphill battle when you're there, you know. I did an interview once before where someone kind of asked me, like, well, what about guys like, you know, Chris Jericho and Eddie Guerrero? And I said, you know, those guys are legendary performers. You have to be very, very top-level guys to kind of break through like that. But I'm sure Jericho would be the first to say, he said, it still wasn't easy. It was still a big uphill battle. And then guys like AJ Styles, Daniel Bryan, you know, these guys who are, you know, they're legends of our business. They've been very talented for very long, but it still took a long time for them to break through, just because I assume their size, a lot of promoters look at them and say, you know, we build this company around bigger guys, you know. So seeing those guys break through always kind of gave me hope as well too. But you need to understand that it's still going to be challenging, you know. And mind you, I debuted with, you know, the Cruiserweight Classic was 32 guys, and then 205, I think the roster came down to about 16 guys. So when you're debuting 16 smaller guys at once in the land of the giants of WWE, you kind of know in the back of your head, like, okay, you know, I'm here, it's awesome, I'm very happy I made it, but like, now the real work starts, because now I have to prove that I can hang with, you know, the bigger guys in the boss's eyes.
Were there any sorts of frustration as the division started to change a bit and you worked towards your release here ultimately? Did that get frustrating for you as you saw less of an emphasis put on that?
We all really enjoyed 205 Live. The roster really cared about it. We wanted to make it the best we possibly could. The thing that was the biggest frustration was not being able to mix it up with some of the other guys as well too. Don't get me wrong, wrestling with the guys on 205 Live, they're some of the most talented dudes in the world. Cedric, Lince, Tony Nese, Drew Gulak, all these guys, Ali, you know, we can have them bangers of matches. But when they say, hey, you guys are wrestling guys 205 or less, you go, hey, a lot of this roster is 205 or less. You know, AJ Styles, you know, I believe he might make that weight limit. Finn Balor, you know, guys like Chad Gable. So the small point of contention was, hey, can we wrestle these guys as well too? I understand you might not want us to wrestle a Roman Reigns or Randy Orton because obviously they're huge dudes, but if someone makes that weight limit, can they be on the show too? So that was the only thing that got a little frustrating, they said. Because at that time, when we were in the company, Vince looked at AJ and Finn Balor and those guys as stars. So he said, hey, if we get to mix it up with them, maybe we can change his perception on cruiserweights or smaller guys as well too.
Recently, you made your AEW debut. Tony Khan had some pretty high praise for you in his post-show press scrum at Full Gear. What was that experience like for you, and are there any plans to potentially return to AEW?
Yeah, it was... I couldn't have asked for a better debut. The fact that I got to wrestle Dante, who I had a little bit of hand in training him as well, too. You know, I knew when they were coming to Minnesota, the first thing I thought in my head, I said, oh, cool, that's going to be a very big moment for Dante when he gets to come out there. And selfishly, in my own head, I said, it would be so cool if I got to do something with him. But I said, nah, you know, why would a company want you to share that? You know, that would be his moment. Why would they want me to share that with him? So the fact that Tony went above and beyond to allow me to not only debut on his live television show, but to also share a very special moment in Minnesota, in my hometown, but also with a very good friend, someone who I helped train, someone who's, you know, he's a signed member of the roster, and they said, hey, go out there and kill it. And that's really the direction we got. They said, go out there and kill it. And I said, I couldn't have think of a better opponent to do that with than with Dante.
What do you make of the investment that AEW has put into Dante?
That. So I say this, Dante and Darius, they trained at, it was my brother and Ken Anderson school that me and Eric Cannon came and helped at. And when I would watch them wrestle, even before they started making it really big, I was trying to figure out if I have a bias because they're my friends, but I was like, there's something special about them. These guys are really good for how young they are and for how new they are. They're really good. And then I would think, maybe they're just my friends, so you always think highly of your friends and that. But then once everything started popping up for them, I said, I knew it. I said, I knew from the day I saw them. I said, these guys are special, and I think big things are coming in their future. And I told them that all the time. I said, you guys will be big stars one day. It will happen for you. I didn't know it was going to happen that fast. But the fact that I think Tony saw what I saw immediately and said, hey, we need these guys. Let's build a company around these guys. These are some of our future players. So it's been so amazing to see. And I tell them all the time, I say, don't squander these opportunities at such a young age, getting the opportunities that you get. Like, it's only going to help you make you better, because, you know, sometimes you have to be on the indies for 5-6 years and you may not get big high profile matches. These guys got thrown right in the deep end, and they're wrestling guys like Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks right from the get-go. So I said, these are really things that are gonna springboard you ahead of other people so fast, especially at being, I think they're 20 and 22, you know. So I can only imagine what they're gonna be like when they're 25, 26, 30. They're gonna be unstoppable.
Absolutely insane. And I wanna wrap up here. You mentioned WCW, the Cruiserweight division, that being such a special part of you. And as I said, Eric Bischoff, Tony Schiavone, Arn Anderson, all part of our ad-free shows network. Who was your go-to cruiserweight to watch on WCW program?
I know it's cliche to say, but Rey Mysterio. To me, Rey Mysterio, I think he's the greatest cruiserweight of all time. I think he's the greatest luchador of all time. Him, and at the time, Eddie Guerrero was kind of transitioning out. When I started watching WCW, he looked like he was kind of making his way to more being like a mid-card heavyweight type guy. So Eddie was another one, but I gotta give it up to Rey Mysterio. I think to this day, and I think for a very long time, you know, he will be the greatest cruiserweight of all time.
Something tells me you're not alone in saying that.
Yeah,
so, hey, man, listen, I really appreciate your time. It's really cool to see you finding your own again here. And it's going to be really exciting to see where you're going in the future as well, especially maybe we'll see a third member of Top Flight show up.
Maybe, yeah.
You never know. But thank you again for your time. We really appreciate it. We'll see you next time here on Ad Free Shows.